Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Hallelujah. Got a little bit different message this morning because it starts out with a little bit different start. And generally the start is at the end. I was talking to somebody this morning and I said, it's just a little bit different. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. If you would, open your Bibles to Mark chapter 16. I'd like you to put verses 15 and 16 up if you would. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for what you're doing, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are doing great things in the earth today, Father God. Father, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into our hearts the things that you have prepared for the world, Lord. For this dispensation of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our world. God, we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we are a part of it, Lord. So this morning, as we're getting into your word, Father, I would ask you, Father, that you would begin to open to our hearts what you have to say to each and every one of us personally. Personally, Lord, give us, Father God, that which you desire to speak into our hearts. Holy Spirit, have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way. We are your people. You are the Lord of the harvest. So Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name, I pray. If you agree, say amen. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your presence in the building. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Jesus is speaking, and he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's pretty heavy, amen? Hallelujah. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Starting at verse 20, it says, Now then, we are the ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. I'm going to read that again. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. I want to just say this to every one of you in the house today. Believe it or not, if you believe that Jesus died on the cross, the righteousness that he walked in while he was in the earth, it's in you. It's already there. It's planted in you and it cannot be removed. Hallelujah. God has done a work. Amen. Ooh, man. Hallelujah. Is God good? Is he good? Oh man, he's good. Hallelujah. Is he great? Absolutely, he's great. You know what's cool about it? What I could not do, he did. Isn't that right? I couldn't do it. I could try and try and try, but I couldn't do it. Nobody could. Come on, brother. Come on, man. Come on. God is good and he's great. And his work is perfect. Is that right? He's a perfect creator. Hallelujah. So I'm gonna look at you guys and I'm going to tell you what, because you're his work. And he says in Genesis, his work is perfect. And because you're his work, get ready. You're perfect. Come on, man. Hallelujah. And I know some of you are going to say, no, man, I got so much stuff. Yeah, because you're looking through your eyes. You need to look what God says about you and who you are and what he says. Hallelujah. You are the righteousness of God. Did we just read that? In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Not a covering. It's a reality. Folks, I mean, some of us say, well, everything that I do is under the blood of Jesus. And you know what? There's something to that. But let me just say this to you. We're not trying to hide from God. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just got to get this out there. Whatever you're doing that's contrary to God, you need to stop. Is that okay? You need to stop. Do you know why? Because it's not your design. Your design is different now. You're the righteousness in Christ Jesus. So whatever's going on in your life, if it's contrary to what God is doing and what God is saying, just drop it. Get rid of it. Hallelujah. He says, you just got to know who you are. You don't know how great you are. Is that okay? Can I tell you that this morning? You just have no idea how great you are. I better get going. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm 106, verses 1 and 2. Hallelujah. Is God good? Praise God. Yeah. Oh. Somebody took Psalms out of my Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 106, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. We'll stop right there. Isn't that good? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise Him. Hallelujah. And it says right here, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is what? He's good. For His mercy, what? Endures forever. Hallelujah. Verse 2 says this, who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth His praise? Is that you? Can you do that? Oh, come on, man. Absolutely you can. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, I'm going to drag a few of you up here right now, and we're going to start telling you. You're going to start telling us how good God is. How's that? No? Yeah, okay. God is good. And who can utter these things? Folks, we were designed to utter the things of God. Do you know that the world out there needs us to be saying what we're saying? The world out there needs to hear a voice saying, hey, God can take care of this for you. Hey, God has paid the price for this. God has great things for you. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Brother used to say that to me. It's true. It is true. He has great things for you. And who can utter these things? Who can say these things? It's so important for us to be saying how good God is and telling Him why He's so good. Is that okay? The world needs to hear it. Huh? Yeah. Huh? Hallelujah. We had 12 people. 12. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Well, there's a few more than 12, but that little section in the back, those 12 folks right there representing what God had when we came to this place, met with two other churches. They both had over 100 people in their churches. But for some reason, all I know is behold how God has bestowed a love upon us that we might be called the sons. It's funny, these other two churches that were here that wanted this building, somehow the owner looked at us and said, man, you guys aren't saying much. You know, we only got 12 people. They're over 100, these other folks. And we go, yeah, we're... And he said, I kind of like you guys. That was God. Amen. Behold how good. Started with 12 folks back there in the, what was the bar area, what was the wet spot. But now, how many of you know it's a different kind of wet spot? It is the waters of life that are flowing into the hearts of those young people. And Wednesday nights and more people are speaking the word of God to one another. Amen. Hallelujah. We're raising people to testify out in the world. Is that right? Is that okay? Whew, man, I'll tell you what. That's what God is looking for. God is looking for people that are willing to go out there. Hallelujah. Can I say something to you? God said, get ready, Henry, to do something different. You know what? We've all been growing up in church. How many growing up in church? Everybody raise your hand if you grew up in the church somewhere. 3 of you, 5 of us, 10 of us, yeah. Does anybody, how many, everybody's grown up in church somewhere, but and God has been like, don't do it the way you learned it. You do it the way I tell you to do it. This is not a regular church, folks. This is a church that's been led by the Spirit, that's being led by the Spirit. The staff, my associate pastors, We're praying that God will have his way in this place. And folks, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't have to look like a regular church. It doesn't have to look like the church that I come out of. It doesn't have to look like the church that you came out of. All it has to look like is what God is calling us to be. Hallelujah. It ain't the same. Hallelujah. He told me this. He goes, I want you, listen, I got a couple of things for you, Henry. I said, okay. He says, don't you corral my people, okay? Back off. He said, these are my people. I will send them in. And for whatever duration they're here, I will send them out. He says, I will send. Don't you corral my people. I can't do that. I will not do that. Had another thing for me. He said, do not pass the plate. Is that okay? He said, place an offering station at the back and allow them to give out of their joy. Hallelujah. I'll tell you. I said, that's it. Okay, Lord. That means I'm going to have to trust you. He said, that's right. Come on. That means I'm not going to be begging for money. That's right. Hallelujah. God's going to take care of that. He will place it on the hearts of his people to give. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, how good is he? Oh, God. We don't know how good he is. We have seen nothing yet. Amen? Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. And who will say these? Who can utter these things? It's us. The Word of God says it this way. It says, in Revelation, it says this. They overcame him. Who? Talking about the devil. They overcame him by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Pretty simple. Is that right? What are you saying? What are you speaking? What is it that you've been saying in your life circumstance? What is it? Have you been holding to the Word of God that says, hey, I will provide for you? I am your provider. I am the banner that's over you. I am your healer. Are you holding to those things? or are you, well, I guess I'm going to have to go to the, whatever. I don't even want to say it in here, man. Hallelujah. Folks, listen, believe in the Lord your God. Believe in his prophets. So shall you prosper. You will prosper by believing what he says in his word. He wants to prosper you. He wants to build you and strengthen you. Whew. Hallelujah. How many of you want to be built and strengthened? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Psalm 106. Hallelujah. Psalm 107 says this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures how long? Forever. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You say, come on, man. Hallelujah. When you're out there in the streets, when you're out there, you got some guy cutting your lawn. Hey, man. You know, bro, hey, shut the mower off for a minute, brother. You know that God is good and his mercy endures forever. Do you know that? Do you understand that, my friend? Hallelujah. You might be saying, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, let me talk to you a little bit. Let me say something to you. But let the redeemed of the Lord say so. How many of you are redeemed in this room? Hallelujah. It's time that we begin to just speak those things to those that are around about us. I will tell you today, I'm going to just say this. That person that you work with, it's no coincidence that you're working with them. God has divinely inspired that. That person that's come into your house to drop off mail, God is bringing them to you. Hallelujah. How many like Jehovah Witnesses? Praise God. Yeah. You know what? That's a mission field coming to your door. Hallelujah. So you can say, come on. Hey, man, let's talk about the Word of God. His mercy endures forever. Do you understand that? He is good. Hallelujah. It says this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from who? The hand of who? The enemy. So I'm going to just tell you something. The enemy is done. Can I just say that to you? He is a defeated foe. If you talk to him every morning, tell him, you can't come in here. I'm going to tell you, quit talking to him. You got no business talking to him. He's defeated. Why would you even waste your time? Stop doing that. Begin to talk. Begin to speak the things of God in your house. Hallelujah. You know what? The enemy has been pushed out. Is that right? He's under. It's a done deal already. Hallelujah. Don't offer him airtime. Amen? Don't give it to him. Say, hey. We all will get one of those thoughts once. How many know that? Just tell me, hey, shut up. It's easy. How many know that? Shut up, man. Well, you know your sister hurt you. Shut up, man. Get out of my. I mean, you got no place. Well, you know you're going to get sick. I won't even answer that one. Well, you know, if you get in that plane, it's going to crash. Have you ever heard that? As you're getting in, say, man, I hope this plane don't crash. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Trust God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and the south. How many of you are south of here? How many are north of here? How many of you are east of here? Whoops. Yeah, east of here, yeah. How many of you west of here? Come on, man. Hallelujah. He's gathering. He's gathering. Is that right? That's cool. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. How many of you remember before you knew the Lord? How many remember how hungry you were, but you had no idea what you're hungry for? How many of you are thirsty, but you had no idea what you're thirsty for? There's people out there drinking all sorts of Tres Equis, Budweiser, all sorts of tequila and everything. You know what? Not doing them any good. You know what they need? They need the redeemed to stand in their face and say, man, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. That stuff, Jose Cuervo, is that his name? He's got nothing on Jesus. Hallelujah. Get to know the Lord, man. Hallelujah. He needs somebody. God is saying, I need people to open their mouths and let the redeemed say so. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I remember being in that place and somebody came to me and said, hey, bro, do you know Jesus? I said, I'm a Catholic. Come on, man. Leave me alone, man. I'm a Catholic. He said, I didn't ask you that. I said, do you know Jesus? I said, man, no. Folks, relationship is the key. Getting to know him personally. You being on your own, dependent upon him. You become independently dependent upon him. You allow him to speak to you. Hallelujah. He will not steer you wrong. How many know that? Hallelujah. We've had a lot of years of being led around by men. Is that right? God is saying, not anymore. He says in the Old Testament, he says, and they will all be taught of the Lord. The Lord is trying to teach you. You need no man to teach you. So what is it? First John chapter 2. You need no man to teach you because the unction that's within you, the Holy Ghost, will teach you everything you need to know. How do you know that? That's who God is. That's what he says, man. I am your God. That's what he says. I belong to you and you belong to me. He says it this way. He says, I shall be their God and they shall be my people. There is a getting a hold of and holding on. How many, do you know that you can get a hold of God? But you got to hold on. Isn't that right, bro? You got to hold on. That's it. Come on. I'm going to get a hold of you. I'm going to hold on. Because I'll tell you, God is moving. He's constantly doing. You might not see what he's doing with your natural eyes, but God is doing things. Do you know that? Hallelujah. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Lord, I'm in trouble. I mean, you guys remember that? Amen. Do you remember? Saying, Lord, I can't do it on my own. I'm going to lose everything. And in the Bible, the Word of God says that he delivered them out of distresses. Man, that's what he did for me. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Amen? Goodness. Oh my goodness. He'll fill your soul with goodness. Hallelujah. Because he is good. Oh, taste and see, the word of God says, that the Lord is good. He'll fill your soul with goodness. He'll fill your soul with himself. Whew. Man, I like that song we sang this morning. It is well with my soul. How many say it's well with my soul? Can I tell you? While we were singing that song, these words came to me. And it's a psalm, and I have to look for it, but it says, my soul is as a weaned child. What does a weaned child look like? Well, they quit crying all the time. They quit going and saying, well, it's your fault. They made me do it. That weaned soul is growing. It's a picture of it growing. The Word of God says that we go from milk of the Word to we start eating meat, getting a little bit of bologna. Is that right, Greg? Get a little bit of bologna, a little bit of spam. Everybody say spam, yeah. Come on. And then we graduate into maybe some chicken dinners, some meat. 131:2. My soul is as a weaned child, and you begin to eat the stronger things of the Word of God. How many know that? God wants to get you into those things. And he says, it is well with my soul. It's well with my soul. God is bringing things to us to say, look, man, I've got you. Do not worry. Do not fret. Don't be afraid. I've got you. I'm going to take care of you. Just trust me. That's all he says. Just trust me. But folks, you know, we're kind of like, we got to do something, but I got to do something. I got to do something, God. God says, trust me, man. You got no idea where you're at. I will do it for you. Just trust me. And that, folks, that's a good place to be. Hallelujah. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul, fills the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. The Lord is good. God is good. He's so good to you. He's good to you. You might be in a place where you might say, well, you know, I'm going through some stuff, and it doesn't feel like he's that good to me. I'm going to tell you, he's good to you. You are in a good place. Wherever you're at, you are in a good place. It might feel horrible to you, but know this. God is watching over you, and he's going to take care of you. You're in a good place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that God's going to take the body of Christ into a place like he did when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. There was not one person sick. Is that right? Their shoes never wore out. I don't think they got tired. But how do you know there was a bunch of complainers in that bunch? Is that right? They complained. They didn't like it. It's too hot. It's too cold. We're hungry. Yeah. We want garlic. How many like garlic? Does anybody in here like garlic? Man, that's good. It makes things taste good, huh? Yeah. They wanted garlic with their manna. You kidding me? Forget it, man. It don't sound good. They were a complaining bunch. And we're going to, if you guys remember, let's go to Exodus. We're going to go to Exodus 33. And I want to just share some stuff with you out of this. Exodus 33. We're going to start with verse 1. Where we're at right here in Exodus 33. The children of Israel, Moses was up in the mountain for 40 days. You remember that? Up in the mountain for 40 days, hadn't come down. So the children of Israel, man, say, man, he's gone. We need a God. Can you believe it? After watching God split the Red Sea and all the things that he did in Egypt against Pharaoh, Moses doesn't come down from the mountain for 40 days. And they say, oh, well, daddy's gone. And you know what they did? They built a golden calf. Are you kidding me, huh? You know what's weird about it? Aaron helped them. That's even weirder to me. I don't know. But anyway, but poor, you know, hey, God knows Aaron's heart. Maybe he was under the gun, probably. But I want to read a scripture to you that God had, something that God had started to talk to them about building a tabernacle. And in Exodus 25, verse 8, you don't have to put that up, but I'm just going to go. You can if you want. And he says, God says this, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. God wanted to be right in the middle of them. Is that right? Is that okay? God says, man, I'm gonna get right in the middle of you guys. I'm gonna watch over you from the middle. yeah, you guys, come on up here, man. You know, hey, get over here. I'm gonna watch over you from within your camp. It's kind of crazy. But then they go and they make a golden calf. Joshua and Moses are up in the mountain. They go, what's going on down there? I don't know, man. Sounds like a riot. They're having some kind of a party. So they come out. Moses was getting the Ten Commandments from God at this time. God was writing the Ten Commandments. Maybe he's a slow writer. I don't know. 40 days and 40 nights. I don't think so. Yeah, it was. On stone, huh? Yeah. So he comes and they look and they're rioting and they've got this golden calf right out in the middle of there. And they're worshiping it and running around. And oh, how many of you have seen the Ten Commandments? That's what I'm picturing. I don't know why. I don't know why. Charlton Heston coming out of the mountain. Whoa, what's up? Make my day. No. That's it. That's right. So he comes out and he looks and he goes, hey, man. So God tells him, he says, look, I'm gonna wipe them out and I'll start a new bunch out of you, Moses. And Moses actually goes to God and says, well, God, they're going to say something about this. Pharaoh back there, they're going to say, hey, took them out there to wipe them out. Ha, ha, ha. They God couldn't take care of his people, whatever. And God, so Moses is telling God, no, man, God, we don't want to do that. I really believe that God was just looking for somebody to intercede for them. Someone that would say, God, just forgive them. Would you just forgive them? So he does, and that's where we're at. We're at in this Exodus chapter 33, and it says in verse 1, it says, the Lord said to Moses, depart and go up from here, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, saying unto thy seed, I will give it. For one of the things you'll notice that God says, the people that you brought out of Egypt. You see that? I'm going to tell you, Moses couldn't have done that. God brought them out. But all of a sudden, God said, hey, get your people and get. that's a Henry way of saying, get your folks, get them up, and get them out of here. He says, and I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And then he says this, God says this, for I will not go up in the midst of you, for you are a stiff-necked people, lest I consume you in the way. How many know what a stiff neck looks like? Anybody ever tried pulling a donkey? Anybody? Can I? That's a good example of a stiff neck. If a donkey doesn't want to go, he just pulls his neck back, and you can tug all you want. And sometimes the little critter will sit down on you. Is that? He'll go ahead and sit down. He says, I ain't going nowhere. Go ahead and move me if you can. Hallelujah. God is saying, that's the way my people are. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we're like that. You know? Don't get mad at me. Sometimes we're like that. Sometimes we're little donkeys. And we're saying, God's trying to get us to move into something. And we're saying, oh, I'm going to sit right here. Bless me if you can. God desires for us to be willing when he asks us to do something. Is that right? And that's what he's talking. He says, you people are a stiff-necked people. So then he says, I'm not going to go up in the midst of you. I won't do it. And to me, that's kind of heartbreaking for me, because I know it seemed to me when he said, I want to have them build a tabernacle and I can be in the midst. It's almost like God saying, I can't wait to be in the middle of you guys. I just can't wait. And all of a sudden, they've done something where he says, I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. To me, it's kind of hurtful, man. I said, man, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you went through that. But he says this. He says, you are stiff-necked people. And he says, and when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned. And no man put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say to the children of Israel, you're a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of you in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off your ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto you. Put away your toys. Just say that for a little bit. Let's put away your stuff. Sit down and wait. Because I'm going to do something. Get ready. Is that okay? Praise God. How many know sometimes God has to work us? Is that right? Because we do get stiff-necked. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Oreb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it outside the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was outside the camp. God wanted to be inside, but because of what was going on, because of their stiff-necked, Moses said, I'm going to put the tabernacle outside. So now if you want to go to God, you got to go outside. You got to go out there. And it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up, stood every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he had gone to the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Can you imagine the people watching this as Moses would go out there day after day? And they'd see the cloud come down, and Moses walking in, this cloud all of a sudden comes down, and they're watching. They say, oh, check it out, man. God is talking to Moses. Isn't that cool? I love it. How many know we're in a better place today? Is that right? We're in a good place. We really are. And all the people that saw the cloudy pillar at the door of the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to a friend. Isn't that cool? How many want to hear God's voice? And he turned again to the company. He turned again to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. It was kind of cool. Joshua was Moses' servant. And so when Moses would go to the tabernacle, Joshua would hang around and stay in the tabernacle. Is that cool? I love it. I think it's really cool. I believe that God was prepping Joshua in those times. Because Joshua had a love for the presence of God. Verse 12. I did set all that to get to some of these scriptures right here. It says, verse 12 says, and Moses said to the Lord, see thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. It's funny that Joshua was hanging around in the tabernacle, and Moses is asking, who are you going to send with me? Who's going to help me? And it's like Moses didn't even recognize that there was a young man that was back inside that tabernacle that God was saying, hey, man, You'll see. Just hold on. Now, therefore, I pray you, and this is Moses speaking, if I found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, that I might find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you peace. And Moses says here what it was really on his heart. He says, and he said unto him, if your presence go not with me, carry us not from here. Is that right? If God doesn't take us somewhere, I'm going to say, folks, if God's not saying to do this, I don't want to go there. Is that okay? If he's not going to take us, I'm going to say, we'll just wait for the bus. Is that okay? Because I believe we need to be doing that. I believe there's times that God will place things in front of us and allow us to see, allow us to see our hearts. Are we going to wait for God, or are we going to say, okay, wait, God, is this something from you? Are you giving this to me? Is this something that you have for us? For me, my family, my children. Is this you, Lord? I'm not getting on the bus, Lord, unless you say, get on the bus. Sit back and wait. Just wait. Because God will lead you. He'll take you there. If that's for you, you'll know it. Absolutely, because it's him. Oh, man, hallelujah. Carry it. He said, if your presence go not with me, don't carry us out of here. Verse 16 says, this is Moses speaking. Now, wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that you go with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. What makes us different from the rest of the world? What is it? It's God. Is that right? It's Christ in you. But there's something very different, because he says, how will they know? Okay, something, one thing for us to know. It's cool, man. God's with me. But how does the world know? How will they know? Folks, I'm going to tell you, there's something about the presence of God that is very real. And when they sense the presence of God in your life, they're going to know. They might not want to ask you anything. They might not want to talk to you, but as soon as you leave, they're going to be turning around and saying, there's something different about that guy. There's something different, because the presence of God is what separates us in this world from the world. And the world senses it. Can I tell you that? They will know. They'll know that, hey, it's not, there's something different about you. Hallelujah. He's a good God. And if you will lay your life down, if you will speak to him, if you will call upon him, if you will spend time with him, you're going to find that he will. His presence will envelop you and dwell with you. When you get up in the morning, you might think that presence isn't. I remember a brother come up to me at work, man. I put out my hand. I said, man, hey, how's it going, man? And that brother had been in the presence of God. Because I go, ooh, man, I felt that. I said, what'd you do this morning? What'd you eat? He goes, man, I'm going to tell you, I was eating out of Romans this morning. I said, yeah, come on, man. Hallelujah. Because the presence of God dwells within us. That's what separates us from the world. You might try to act like the world and be like the world. I would say stop. Quit doing that. Let God dwell in you richly in all wisdom and understanding. Is that right? That the word of God says. Whew. How shall we know? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Moses has been seeing the glory of God. How many of you know that? Cloud by day, fire by night. Is that right? He's been seeing it. But now he's asking, show me your glory. What's he asking for? What is it that he's looking for? Here's Moses, the man of God, that saw all the miracles and all the pestilences and everything that happened to Egypt that changed Pharaoh's heart. What is he asking for? Show me thy ways, God. Show me thy way. Ooh, that's what I say. God, show me your way. God, I don't know anything about you. I don't have the slightest idea, Lord. Show me your way. I'll tell you what, you take a position like that, God will begin to do something that you might not even realize. Whew. This is how powerful God is. He says, show me thy way. Show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my, what? My goodness to pass before you. And then he says, and I will proclaim, what? The name of the Lord. This is the Lord talking to Moses. He goes, I'm going to make my goodness pass by you, and I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord. He's saying something to us, folks. He's saying something about how we are and what we need to be doing. He says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy upon whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Is that right? Is that what it says? You can't see my face. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, right? And thou shalt stand upon a what? A who? I said it on purpose. A who?
A rock.
A rock. Who is the rock that we know of? There is a place by me. Is that right? You know what the Word of God says? That he is seated at the right hand of the Father. There is a place by me, is what he does. I'm getting, oh, I love it, man. And it shall come to pass while my glory passes by that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock of Jesus. I'll put you in there. Oh, are you kidding it? I'll put you in there, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face you will not see it. I want to just go over to Exodus 34, start at verse 5. There's a place by me, is what he says. His name is Jesus. Even Moses was being hid in Christ. Oh, man. Chapter 34, verse 5 says, and the Lord did. He descended in the cloud and stood with him there. And then it says, and proclaimed what? Here is God coming to show Moses himself. And what does he do? He says, I'm going to proclaim that. See, the first thing he does, he proclaims the name of the Lord. Oh, you're still not getting it. Okay. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed. This is what the Lord passed before. He proclaimed this. It's what it says. He proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children under the third and fourth generation. Can I tell you, when he said he was proclaiming the name of the Lord, merciful and gracious, forgiving, but he won't clear. Is that cool? He will not clear the guilty, but he's forgiving. And because he will wash the guilty. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Moses sees him. You see, Moses heard the Lord proclaiming his great name. Merciful. Glorious. Moses heard the proclamation in his great name. Malachi chapter 1, verse 11. Mm. going to tell you, folks, that his name is great. Verse 11 says, from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among who? Among the what? Gentiles. Among the Gentiles. How many of you folks in here are Gentiles? How many, well, let me just put it this way. How many Jewish people do we have in here? Okay. How many of you are Gentiles? Folks, I'm going to say, can I say, and this is what God's saying. He says this, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. I'm going to put up another scripture. It says Psalm 99, verse 3. Hallelujah. Psalm 99, verse 3. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Do you guys believe that God's name is great? Do you believe that it's holy? Hallelujah. I'm going to put up another scripture. You're going to love this one. It's Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Exodus 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me just say this to you. When we first started this, man, it says, God has, behold how good God is, how he has bestowed upon us that we are sons and daughters of God. Is that right? And he says here, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I'm going to tell you something. I mean, I used to just think that was cussing. I just cuss here a little, cuss there. Well, God this, God that. You'll hear in a bar more Jesus Christ than you will ever hear Mohammedan. Any of those other, you know, Bahalua Baha'i Dam. Folks, I'm going to tell you, because there's something about the name of God. There's something about it, and it's holy, and it really is. And he says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. If you would you put up Ezekiel 36, 21 through 23. I want you to hear what the Lord says here. Ezekiel 36, 21 through 23. I'm sorry. Therefore, this is Ezekiel. God is speaking. He says, therefore, he says, but I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, wherever they went. I'm going to say this to you. Do you realize, because we are called by the name of the Lord, there is an expectation of God that he says, hey man, this is, I mean, there is a way to act. There is a way to think. There is a way to respond to things. There is a way. God was getting after Israel when he said these things. He says, I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen. Folks, when we're doing things that are contrary to the word of God in our lives, when we're doing them, and people around us see us, we're not doing ourselves any good. We are hurting ourselves and possibly very much hurting the gospel of Jesus Christ and those that are watching us. Can I say this to you? Get to know this, that God does see everything. You cannot hide anything from him. He knows your heart. He knows your heart, and you cannot hide. And he says, do not profane my name among the heathen. Do not bring it. This would be taking the name of the Lord your God in vain. Look what he says. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes. I want you to think about this for a second. Could this be Jesus looking at what's going on and saying, God, they don't get you. They don't understand how good and how great you are. They don't understand. So maybe Jesus saying, God, I've got pity on your name because they don't get it. They don't really know just how good you are, I'll go. I will go and I will show them, God, how good you are. You are great. You are mighty. Can you guys roll on some more scripture? I just want to read these to you. House of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which thou hast profaned among the heathen, wherever you went, I will sanctify my great name. Listen, God, I'll sanctify my great name. Maybe this is Jesus speaking. Which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Next verse. For I will take you from among the heathen, gather you out of all countries, and bring you out into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness, from all your idols, I will cleanse you. And a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. God is good. He is great, and he's worthy to be praised. Folks, he's worthy to be respected in your house. If he paid a price for you, he's worthy for you to stop before you do anything that is contrary to him and say, you know what, God, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to stop doing what I'm doing. I want to live a life that you've called me to live. Hallelujah. His name is great. It's mighty. And it's within you. Hallelujah. I like the story when David was going to fight Goliath. And David's older brother, I think it was Abinadab, is that right? I'm not sure. Anyway, his older brother told him, what are you doing here, man? Because David was, man, hey, what's going to happen to the giant if somebody kills him? And so his older brother's telling him, what are you doing here, you little punk? Man, get out of here. Man, I know your heart. I know how you are. And David looks at him and looks at his older brother, maybe looking up, and he goes, what? Is there not a cause? Because there was this giant down there calling on the armies of Israel, and David's saying, none of you guys are doing anything. And he looks at his brother and says, is there not a cause? And he turns from him, turns around. That's what I like. I like that when people are saying things that are contrary to God's word, you know what? I say, that's cool, man. All right, just turn around and walk away. Is that okay? I like what David says, but he says, is there not a cause? But in there, I'm going, God, well, what was his cause? David, what's your cause? And his cause shows up when he's talking to the giant. And this is what he tells him. 1 Samuel 17, verse 46. He says this day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you, and I will take your head from you. You know that? That's good, isn't it? Praise God, man, little guy. I will take your head from you, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. And here's his cause, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. There's his cause right there. That's why he was doing what he was doing, because all the earth needs to know there's a God out there, and he loves you, and he cares about you. Hallelujah. Solomon, when he's dedicating the temple, this is what he says. Solomon, 1 Kings 8:60, says this, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and there is what? None else. Hezekiah, when Sennacherib's getting ready to attack him, calls upon God, and here's what, in Isaiah 37:20 is what it says, now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand. that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, even you only. Hallelujah. Exodus 9, verse 16. This is what God instructed Moses. And in very deed, for this what? Cause. For this cause has I raised you up. Moses was speaking to Pharaoh. God instructed Moses to speak these words to Pharaoh. And he says, in this very deed, for this cause, I have raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout the earth. Do you have a cause? We got a cause. Yeah. I remember a friend of mine. Wasn't a friend of mine at the time. He was a guy that I just did not want to talk to. All he did was cuss. All he did was talk about weird stuff that he had done and women and all this stuff. And I said, hey, God. So I stayed clear of him. And God would say to me, you need to say something to him. I said, it wasn't, yeah, come on. And one day I was washing my hands. And he was in the restroom, and he washed his hands, and he left because it was in the morning. It was right before we were supposed to go to our line out, and I was washing my hands. And when the door closed, the Lord said, I want you to tell him today about me. I said, God, now, why him? Not him. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? How many of you know that we don't see the way God sees? We just got no idea what's going on. I said, why him, God? I stay clear of him, Lord. Yeah, I know you do. I stay, Lord, I don't want you. Okay, God, I'll do it. So I go to my line out, and at the time, our maintenance group would our work would come all the way down to the water field down here to Kanoa. And that morning, my boss hands me my paperwork. He says, you're on the water field today. He hands me that. And I looked at that, and I go, well, sorry, God, I guess I won't be seeing Jim down there. I don't know what's going on in his crew. I said, sorry, God. So I'm down, I'm checking pumps, I'm taking app readings, and all of a sudden it's noisy, and all of a sudden there's a tap on my shoulder, and I turned around, and guess who it is? Jim. I looked at him, going, dude, what are you doing here, man? He goes, oh, we're working on a pump on the other side of the dam over there. He goes, our radios aren't working for some reason. Isn't that real? Really? He goes, can I borrow your radio so I can? Yeah, sure, man. So he goes over to the truck because the pump station is really loud. So he goes over to the truck, and I'm standing over there. I'm standing over there watching him, and the Lord says, I brought him to you. All right. So I go over there, and he calls in what he needed. And I said, Jim, I've got something to ask you, man. He looks at me. I said, hey, bro, is there anything I can pray for you about? God wants me to talk to you about something. I mean, he just broke out in crying. He just found out that he had hepatitis C. And I actually didn't know, oh, okay, wasn't expecting that at all. I was expecting and hopefully to say, oh, no, I'm good. You know, it wasn't like that at all. Folks, God is good. He knows people. His thing is people. Talked to Jim a little bit, and he got to be kind of a friend. He'd come talk to me. Whenever I was around, he cleaned up. And you guys know that? He quit saying what he was saying, man. I got Jim, how's it going, man? You know, talked to him. Met his wife, Sandra. Isn't that right, Rosie? Where you at? Met his wife, Sandra, and his daughter. And then just kind of got away from him. And I mean, he got laid off and just got... One day, very early in the morning, I was just feeling kind of just low. How many of you guys ever had a low spot? Been feeling bad, feeling like, God, I don't know, man. If I'm doing any good, I don't know what's going on, God. I don't know why I'm feeling bad. And early in the morning, getting ready. I was actually doing adult Sunday school. And while I was looking, while I was just kind of like, I just didn't feel good. It wasn't sick, just my spirit was low. And I get this phone call. Hey, babe, that's his name, that's what he's called. Hey, babe, I go, Jim? He goes, yeah, man. He goes, Henry, I was just thinking about you this morning. I just want you to know that, you know, I want to thank you for taking the time to pray with me there that morning in front of the pump station. He says, I am now going to Victory Assembly of God. I got my whole family in there. I said, praise God. And just took me. And you know, God knew where I was at. And you know what? God is good. Amen. He really is good. And his name is great. And it's worthy of us adjusting our lives for, taking a look at what we're doing and say, you know what? I need to stop this, God. Because of who you are, because you are great. And people are looking at me. People are, you know, whether you believe it or not, people are looking at you. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. People are looking at you. And it's time that we accept what God has said about us. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Let me just say this to you. Some of you in this house, man, you might have sensed God saying something to you. I want to give you an opportunity to talk to the Lord and say to him, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. So we're just going to do it as the house. Is that okay? If you will, bow your heads and pray this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, you are a great God. You are merciful, Father, and I know it. Father, forgive me. Forgive me for what I've done. Forgive me for what I've said. Forgive me, Father God, for my thoughts. Forgive me, Father God, for the things that are contrary in my life. Forgive me, Father. God, I know, because your word says that you are the Lord, you are great, and you forgive iniquities. You forgive sins. So Lord, here I am. Forgive me for everything. Wash me and cleanse me. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and 3 days he rose again from the dead. He took my sin, my thoughts, my actions, and you've given me his righteousness. Thank you for that this morning, Father. I praise you. I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen.